Do you know anyone with selective hearing? I've been amazed by the astounding skill that some children have. You can look them in the eye and say, "Tidy your room," and they can't hear you. But if they are seven blocks away and you whisper, "There's ice cream in the freezer," instantly they're by your side saying, "Please." And it's not something you grow out of. If anything, some adults have even worse selective hearing, and maybe you'll find some stories out about that later. Because there are times that I am really good at putting on my listening face, but my ears are switched off and my mind is elsewhere. And unfortunately, even with an audiologist in our church, it's not something she can solve. Do you know anyone with selective hearing? And let's be honest, what about yourself? Do you have selective hearing when it comes to God? Today we're going to hear a warning. We must listen properly to God. One of the things Jesus was known for was telling stories. The word we sometimes use is parable. Actually, did you notice that in the start of the book of Proverbs? The word parable comes up there. Parable, it pretty much means a story that teaches. Kind of like a proverb or a fable. And Jesus is well known for teaching using parables. Now, we're picking things up partway through Matthew's gospel, partway through his biography of Jesus' life. In chapter 13, Jesus most likely is in Capernaum. Matthew chapter 9 verse 1 says that's where he's set up home base. He's traveling around the district, teaching, healing, casting out unclean spirits. Capernaum is home base. At the end of chapter 12, so verse 46, Jesus' family comes to Capernaum to see Jesus. They want him to come home to Nazareth. Stop causing a ruckus with the religious leaders. Come home, fly under the radar, play nice. But at the end of chapter 12, so verse 49, Jesus says, family isn't about blood and biology. Jesus' family are those who listen to him, who follow him, and who do the will of his Father in heaven. And so instead of leaving with his family and going to Nazareth, Jesus heads to the lake, followed by a crowd, and begins to teach. So read with me from verse 1, Matthew 13, 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables. So where's Jesus teaching? He's using a makeshift stage by the shore of the lake. He's not teaching in synagogues. In the previous few chapters, things have got more and more antagonistic. He's no longer able to teach in synagogues, so he takes his teaching to public spaces. And Matthew now records a bunch of parables Jesus told. This is how Matthew's gospel is structured. Matthew has blocks of events, things Jesus did, and then he has blocks of what Jesus taught. So it starts with all the stuff early in Jesus' life, the Christmas events. Then we get the Sermon on the Mount. Then we're told all kinds of things Jesus did around Galilee. Now we get a series of parables. Matthew puts together his biography this way, and the blocks of Jesus' teaching help us understand what goes before and what comes after. And so in a little bit, we want to keep this in mind. We must not read the parables in isolation from the rest of Matthew's gospel. We've got to keep thinking, how does this help us understand what happened before? How will it help us understand what's going to happen afterwards? And we'll talk a bit about that later on. The story Jesus tells on one level is very easy to understand. A farmer is planting a crop. In the ancient world, they didn't have machines to precisely place a seed every 15 centimetres down a row. Instead, the farmer would prepare the soil, maybe use a bullock to drag a plough through the soil. Then he'd sow the seed by scattering it, throwing it all over the paddock, which is efficient with time, but not efficient with seed. The seed lands in all kinds of places, and depending on where it lands, on what kind of soil it lands, it'll either take off and grow and produce something or fail to produce anything. So let's hear Jesus' story, verse 3. Verse 3, then he told them, Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. This farmer is very liberal in his sowing. It sounds like he's sowing grain or wheat seed, and the seed goes everywhere. There are 4 types of soils on which it lands. First is the road, hard soil packed down by people and animals walking on it. The seed is instantly gobbled up by the cockatoos and galahs. The second soil is rocky soil, not unlike the soil around our house. Hard to get anything to grow because the roots can't get down deep where the moisture and nutrients are. The third soil is full of weeds. Think about a paddock taken over by lantana or rat's tail. No matter how good the seed is, it's got no chance. The wheat might start growing, but the weeds will sap the soil of moisture and nutrients. It hasn't got a chance. But fortunately, some of the seed lands on good soil, the rich black or red volcanic soil, or soil that's been improved with compost and manure. And this is good news for the farmer. Because despite all that wasted seed, the seed that fell on the 3 other types of soil, the seed that falls on the good soil goes gangbusters. It produces a bumper crop. According to some researchers in the ancient world, a tenfold return on crops would be considered good. But this farmer, in different parts of his farm, the minimum he gets is 30-fold, and some places even 100 times. It's astoundingly good soil. Jesus finishes the story with a challenge. Verse 9, he says, "Listen up, whoever has ears, let them hear." Jesus isn't just telling the people up the back to stop talking. He's saying there's more to this story. It's not just a nice story. It's a story that needs to be heard, to be pondered. Verse 9 is actually the key verse. It is the key part of the story. The call to listen is the meaning of the story, but we're not going to quite get there yet. Sometime later, when the crowd had gone away, Jesus' close followers ask him why he speaks in parables. This is because they're confused by the parable. They're confused by the story itself. What's it mean? And the question comes up because privately, Jesus doesn't use parables. Privately, Jesus speaks plainly, directly to his disciples. So why does he use parables with the crowd? Verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" Jesus' answer is shocking. Jesus' answer, it's not the answer we expect him to give. Jesus says he speaks in parables not to reveal, but to conceal. Verse 11, he replied, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For these people's hearts has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." Did Jesus really just say what you think he said? Maybe we need to get our ears checked. Surely Jesus doesn't mean what he said. When I was a child, I was told Jesus used parables to make things easy to understand. I was told a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, that Jesus used parables because the things of God are hard to understand, but by using earthly stories, Jesus makes hard things easy to understand. But Jesus says the opposite. He says he speaks in parables to leave people in spiritual deafness and blindness. He speaks in parables to leave people in their own darkness. When Jesus speaks in parables, for most people, for the crowds, they'll come along and hear a nice story. They might think it's a nice story about soils and farming. They might even think there's something wise here. But Jesus says, though hearing, they do not hear or understand. They hear a nice story, but it leaves them none the wiser. In some ways, it's like reading or hearing a foreign language. This week, I was researching a guitar thing. I clicked on a video which was in Thai. I reckon Thai writing is beautiful with its curves and angles. And listening to the guy on this video, he had a nice tone of voice. I enjoyed the rhythm of the language. But to me, I don't have eyes to see or ears to understand. It's meaningless. It's just babble to me. Jesus' parables work a bit like this. To those on the outside, nice story, but meaningless. Jesus says the parables are a fulfillment of Isaiah's ministry. God told Isaiah to prophesy and speak all kinds of warnings to God's people. And although they'd hear, the sounds of the words would hit their eardrums and would make some sense. They'd comprehend the language, but they won't take the warning to heart. They won't turn back to God for salvation. God's people in Isaiah's day had selective hearing. They would not hear God's warnings and promises. Jesus says, my teaching's going to have the same effect. But Jesus says for those on the inside, for his disciples, for those whom he reveals himself, they are blessed. They get to hear and see what the prophets of old, prophets like Isaiah, longed to hear and see. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. How are you feeling about what Jesus says? How do you feel about Jesus only revealing himself to the disciples, that the crowd is left seeing and not perceiving, hearing and not understanding, but the disciples get to understand? Is that fair? Keep that question in mind as we hear Jesus explain the story. Like all parables, this parable has one key message, one big idea. The big idea is, he who has ears, let him hear. It's a story about listening. But this parable is made up of lots of little parts to get to that one message. So let's listen as Jesus explains what the seed and soil represent. Verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So the seed is Jesus' teaching. It's the word of God. It's the gospel, the good news message. Sometimes the gospel falls on the road. It goes in one ear and out the other. Maybe we could say these are deaf listeners. There's zero understanding of what Jesus says. No recognition that Jesus is God's King and Savior. And so what little understanding these people have is snatched away by the devil. The second soil is the rocky ground. We could say these are the superficial listeners. Verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The superficial listeners. They look like they love what Jesus says. They like the sound of living forever. But when suffering comes, they think, hang on, I didn't sign up for this. I thought God was meant to give me my best life now. Surely any God worth following makes life easier. And when the going gets tough, they give up. Whatever reception of Jesus' message they had was only superficial. They didn't have deep enough roots to withstand scorching summer sun. The third soil represents distracted listeners. Verse 22, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Again, these people appear to receive Jesus' message. They like what they hear. They enjoy singing God's praises, reading the Bible, but they're easily distracted. They're distracted by good and bad things. They're anxious about the future. They get caught up in the Australian dream. Get the car, get the house, the superannuation portfolio. And before they know it, The things of Christ are a distant memory. The American theologian Stanley Hauerwas reflects on the third soil. Why churches in the West are dying seems very simple. It is hard to be a disciple and be rich. Surely we think it cannot be that simple, but Jesus certainly seems to think that it is that simple. The lure of wealth and the cares of the world produced by wealth quite simply darken and choke our imaginations. As a result, the church falls prey to the deepest enemy of the gospel, sentimentality. I think he's onto something. The final soil is the fruitful listeners. Verse 23, but the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This soil is bountiful. The listeners receive the word, they receive Christ, and they stick with him. They're not superficial. They trust Jesus to get them through suffering. They're not distracted. They love Jesus more than anything else. And this seed is said to produce an abundant crop. What's the crop in some translations? It's the word fruit. What's the abundant crop or fruit? I don't think it's the fruit of the Spirit. The crop isn't a changed life in this context. In the context of Matthew's gospel, and especially Matthew 9, 37 to 38, the harvest is plentiful. And asking the Lord of the harvest for more workers, in the light of what also happens in the next few parables, I think the crop is God's end times harvest. Maybe then the crop is talking about effective evangelism. That the good soil, those who hear and receive the message, they'll also speak about Jesus and live radically for him. The good soil becomes then another farmer sowing more seed, and they'll also find that some of their seed falls on good soil. An even more abundant harvest. So it could be about evangelism. It could also just be a way of saying, although there are three types of bad soil, don't be discouraged. There is good soil. There is good soil. God is working to produce a big harvest. And although at that time not many had received Christ, God's harvest will be plentiful, like in Revelation, a countless multitude of people praising God. Now this story about the soils, and especially that part in the middle, the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, raises the question of predestination. The biblical teaching that in his mercy, God graciously chooses to open the eyes of some, to soften the hearts of some, that for his people, those who he's chosen before the creation of the world, that those people God will give a receptive heart. But others he will leave in their non-perceiving, non-understanding situation. What Jesus says in the middle, that's the interpretation. And the bit in the middle means the problem isn't the seed, is it? The same good seed gets thrown everywhere. The problem is with the soil. The reason we cannot hear the gospel as good news, the reason we do not receive Christ, is because of our own sin. Look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. That little word, otherwise. Some translations say lest. That little word reminds us, naturally, we have hard hearts. And unless God intervenes, we are helpless, stuck, dead in our sin. Unless God intervenes, we are one of the bad soils. But the word otherwise also says, there's good news. The reason others do understand Jesus' message and do receive him is because God graciously reveals himself to them. God has revealed himself, opening eyes and opening ears for Jesus' followers. Now, this is a big question. I haven't just done it justice now. Let's keep talking about it over morning tea. But I think it's what the parable has to mean, and especially that bit in the middle. But for a moment, let's put ourselves in the disciples' shoes. How would they have heard this parable? It would have helped them understand what they'd seen happening. The things in chapters 8 to 12. Jesus does amazing things. He's healing the sick, casting out unclean spirits. He's teaching astounding truth. People are amazed at his authority. But why has not everyone received him? How thick could they be? Their own eyes see the Son of God. Even in chapter 12, the immediate context for this parable, in verse 14, The Pharisees see an amazing miracle, a man instantly healed before their eyes, but instead of receiving Jesus, they conspire to kill him. Or in verse 27, chapter 12, they've seen Jesus restore a demon-oppressed man, but instead of falling on their face before the powerful Son of Man, they conclude he's in league with Beelzebul, the devil. The parable explains why people respond this way. Some seed falls on the road. Some falls among rocks and weeds. The crowds, but even more so, the religious leaders are bad soil. Can you imagine hearing this back in the first century? You think they're the best soil there is. They're the religious leaders. But Jesus says no. Their hearts are hard. Their ears are stuffed full of cotton wool because they are left in their sin. Some of them are snatched away before they even sprout. Some scorched by suffering. Others strangled by the love of stuff. Jesus' parable explains what they'd seen. Explains what we see. But most of all, and even more deeply, it calls the disciples to really hear, to deeply hear, to not have selective hearing, to not put on their listening face whilst turning off their ears. The call Jesus is making to his disciples is you must really listen. And this is Jesus' call to us today. Which of the four soils are you? Today we are in a privileged position. We are, as you like, sitting with the disciples. We get to hear the parable explained, and the call to us is still, listen up. If you have ears to hear, let them hear. Which soil are you? Have you been deaf, but now in God's mercy you want to hear? Well, then pray that God will open your ears. Have you been superficial in your faith? Beg God to give you deep roots in Christ. Have you been distracted? Pray God will give you clarity, remove the worries from your life, or the endless but meaningless quest for success, that you might love Jesus more than these things. Brothers and sisters, we really need to hear the warnings of the superficial and the distracted. One of the things I've noticed is moments of change are often moments of spiritual danger. Points of change in life reveal the type of soil we are. I remember one bloke from a church I was part of. He was a keen part of church. He married a lady from another church. And from what I can tell, that was the end of their Christian faith. They fell out of the habit of gathering with God's people. They hadn't worked out which church they'd be part of as a family. And so a few weeks after the honeymoon, and then there was setting up house, and next thing you know, they'd fallen out of the habit of gathering with church. The weeds and anxieties of the busyness of life strangled whatever faith they had. One of the main reasons people stop going to church and then find themselves caught up in the normal things of life is moving house. Before you know it, it's been months since you've thought about God or prayer. Or it's a new job and it requires working some weekends, and soon it's almost every Sunday, and then you get one or so off, but I just really need a break. You're not planning to get distracted. It's not your agenda. It just happens. What soil do you see in yourself? Well, I trust many of us are thinking that in God's gracious kindness, there is good soil. That God, yes, he has opened my ears to hear and my eyes to see. And Christian, if that is the case, then fall on your knees and praise God for his grace. Praise God for revealing Christ in you, and ask him to keep you having ears to hear. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for Jesus' teaching that he's like the farmer sowing his seed far and wide. Please make us good soil. Open our ears to hear and eyes to see, so we will enter your eternal kingdom. We pray for your mercy on our family and friends, our neighbours and colleagues. We pray that we would also be sowers, telling them the good news of Jesus. And we ask that in your mercy, many of them would be good soil, finding lasting hope and joy in Jesus. Protect us from being deaf, superficial, or distracted. For your glory and our good, we ask. Amen.